What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, August 10th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Your schedule. I can't believe that we flew on the same flight to Austin and I never saw you.
I know.
Once we got off the plane, you were gone. You're out in the wind. We were doing our things.
I think I ran into you once in the evening, but we were both a few drinks in.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that when you reopened the bar? Because I think I had already left by the time you got there.
No, it was a different night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It was a blur.
Yeah,
good
no.
Good to see you.
I was trying to meet up with you for pizza, but everyone knows how that
trouble.
Story ended.
It was trouble. It didn't turn out well.
It was ended up with me eating Scarpino's pancakes.
That's a, if I had a nickel. If I had a nickel. How you been?
Very busy, but very good.
You guys did your first ever live What's Good Games podcast, right?
Yeah.
Where you put it on Twitch and everything. How'd it go?
It went really well. Yeah, it was awesome. The stream went off without a hitch. We didn't have any technical problems, which is what I was really worried about because we don't have a Kevin or a cool Greg to...
You got a John Drake.
No, he was...
He's got a little
no,
stream box.
No, he was... that day he flew back from Tokyo, so...
No dedication, huh, John? No dedication.
And so if anything had gone wrong, you know, I would have had to...
Run off
step
and do
away.
It. Yeah,
I actually did have to step off 1 second to like hit a lever on something.
Yeah.
But it went really great, and the episode is now up. So if you guys weren't able to tune in live, you can catch it on youtube.com/whatsgoodgames or on podcast services. We added an additional 30 minutes of content.
Ooh, bonus features.
Yeah, because
alternate ending.
Obviously the Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay video came out the next morning, and so we added in a couple extra news stories too, since we were already shooting. We're like, why don't we just squeeze a 30 minutes more content in? So.
Smart.
Yeah.
Well, good job.
It was great. And I have a special report from Shadow of the Tomb Raider up on my channel as well.
Very nice.
Some new gameplay. I did a nice like 30-minute interview with the dev team where
Hell yeah.
We kind of deep dived into some stuff. So if you guys are interested about that, check it out.
Well, it's coming up fast. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks real good.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. It's simple today. We're brought to you by Third Love and Omaha Steaks, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
What happened there? What was happened?
For whatever reason, the Greg and Gary one came out instead of...
Oh, Greg, the lower thirds were Greg and Gary for a second?
Yeah.
You've never looked better, Gary. Number one is a giant QuakeCon report. QuakeCon is happening right now, Andrea.
Yes, it is.
And that means there's a bunch of Bethesda news dropping. We'll start with two stories in the QuakeCon thing before we kick it over to Andrea and she freaks out. First off, there's a new Bethesda studio. This is from Timur Hussein over at GameSpot. Bethesda has announced that it acquired Escalation Games, the Dallas-based studio that contributed to the development of Skyrim VR, Fallout VR, and Skyrim Switch. It will be known as Bethesda Dallas, as confirmed by during QuakeCon 2018. Bethesda Dallas is currently working on Fallout 76, The Elder Scrolls Blades, and the company's new property, Starfield. Good for them. They did a good work, I guess. You know what I mean? You do enough good work on Skyrim VR, Fallout VR, and the Skyrim Switch, you're going to get sucked in. They want
under
you.
The wing.
There you go. As Bethesda continues to build its army of people to keep making games for them. Congratulations. That's pretty cool. And Starfield, of course. We will continue to hear the name Starfield for years before we hear anything else about what the game actually is.
I don't know. I think that game might be coming sooner than we think.
Yeah? How soon?
I would guess 2020.
Okay, that's fair. So do you think we get a big blowout at E3 next year? Or do you think you see another tease and then 2020 E3 we really get some stuff?
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
One of my favorite E3 experiences was getting to see the Elder Scrolls 5 demo from Todd Howard, like in a behind closed door session.
Yeah.
And just having him walk through all of these new features. So I would really love to have that experience again someday.
Yeah. When you went to the behind closed doors one, was it the one where they took you to like the resort or whatever? Like they showed Rage. I remember Charles and Colin went from IGN back in the day. And it was like, I could see them doing that again too. Of like, all right, cool. We have such big games to show you. We want to do our own event where you come off to. And then at E3, you know, everybody else can come see stuff too. But
well, they have their own event. It's QuakeCon.
Sure. But I mean, QuakeCon, all right, whatever. It's for the fans.
Whoa, QuakeCon's for the fans. Have you ever been to QuakeCon?
No, of course not. I don't play Quake. Last Quake I played was Quaker Oats. You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
Oh yes! Please, please, spoken. Twitch chat, will you please spam my emoji in there right now? Because it's exactly how I feel.
Quake Champions is also going free to play. This is from Jared Petty, writing for IGN.com. At today's QuakeCon 2018 keynote, id Studio Director Tim Willits announced that the multiplayer PC shooter Quake Champions is going free to play. Quake Champions experimented with a free to play trial during E3 2018. Now players will have long term access to the game without paying a cent. Players choosing to play Quake Champions for free gain access to standard matchmaking tools and a single champion. Additional champions may then be purchased with real-world currency. These unique characters each bring their own assortment of special abilities to the game. Purchasing the $29.99 Quake Champions pack unlocks access to all champions now and in the future. Parentheses, on sale on Steam for $19.79 until August 14th. The Champions pack also enables enhanced custom game setup options. Have you played Quake Champions?
I have.
Are you excited for it to go free to play and get more people in?
Quake Champions is above my expertise and my level and my skill as an FPS PC player.
Sure.
I jokingly asked Tim Willits from id, I was like, is there any chance someday that a port of this would come to console? He was like, nah. And I was like, really? He was like, not at this time. He's like, Quake is for PC. And I was like, I respect that.
Sure.
That just means it's not for me, which is fine. Because, I mean, you have to be real good at mouse and keyboard to compete with Quake in Quake Champions. And I'm just not.
Your next one here. I guess this would be C of Roper Report 1, QuakeCon Report. New Doom Eternal gameplay revealed via Andrea's own damn eyes.
That's right. I watched it.
I watched it, too.
Did you? What'd you think?
It looks like more crazy ass Doom, right? Looks that was like the Doom, thing. Yeah. Is like it, for me, I'm not being the Doom guy or anything. Watching, I was like, oh yeah, this looks more. And I did like the neon. I did like the joking they had in there. But you take it away. You do your thing.
Oh well,
you put a whole bunch of stuff in there.
I did.
Do you want to start?
So I pulled a write up because I was watching and doing my makeup at the same time. I was getting ready for the show. So I didn't write down my own notes. So I pulled the notes from Polygon's Ben Kuchera. And on stage, Marty Stratton from id said that the Doom Slayer, they wanted to make him the strongest and most powerful hero we've ever created. So that includes the updated shotgun with a grappling hook that pulls you towards enemies.
Which
just
dope.
In case it was taking you too long to sprint towards them. A wrist-mounted blade that makes executions even more brutal.
They looked horrible. Seems dude opened his mouth and he stabbed him right through it. I was like, damn.
And then that one where he pulls like the gooey bits out of his stomach and then shoves it down in his throat. Mouth.
Like,
oh my gosh. Maybe the biggest new addition though is how the game treats multiplayer. Players can now take control of demons and invade the campaign of other players, even link up with other players to go hunting Doom Slayers online. Now, they did make a point to say this is 100% optional. You can turn it off if you don't want it, or you can turn it on if you do. So
gotcha.
If you would rather slay demons by yourself, you can 100% do that. Another quote here, we're not just building a Doom game anymore, we're building a Doom universe, Stratton said. You will be rewarded for exploring and digging into the lore. The hints at the game's other locations even included an area that looks suspiciously like heaven.
Ooh.
The demo ended by revealing a large demon only to have the Doom Slayer whip out a red glowing energy sword. So they said that they really wanted to expand the lore and flesh out what the Doom universe means. It's
sure.
not just, you know, fast shooting anymore. They really want to like put some narrative behind it, which I thought was really nice. Plus, this announcement kind of went under the radar. It's coming day and date for PC, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Very nice. Very nice. We were wondering right when Bethesda started supporting the Switch with Wolfenstein 2 and Doom ports. Awesome. What does that mean going forward? Does it mean that they'll be able to get things day and date? And apparently they can. So more power to them.
Absolutely.
So you were super impressed with what we saw. You like Doom, the original, or you know what I mean? The reboot, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
This generation's Doom,
the,
you like.
The reboot was really well done. It made a lot of critical lists for awards and
sure,
things
of course,
like that.
Yeah. It had style by the bucket load, right? That was the thing of playing it where I played you know, multiple levels on PS4, only a little bit on Switch, and it was like, okay, cool. This isn't my kind of game, but I'm having fun doing this, and I understand what's happening, and that the kinetic feel of always being in action, always doing something else.
It's a very specific type of FPS, and as you mentioned, it's not for everybody, but it does it so well. The execution of this is something to be applauded for sure.
Yeah.
Even if like the demon hell aesthetic is like, I don't really want to spend my time there.
Yeah.
I really had to take Doom in small pieces because it was so intense.
Yeah.
I could only handle a little bit of it at a go.
Sure.
Yeah.
The one thing I saw you put on Twitter that I thought was cool is that you saw and you're like, oh, I've been playing Doom wrong.
Yeah. Who knew that you're never supposed to aim down the sights?
Yeah, exactly, right? Hip fire forever.
Yeah, I think for me, and someone was like, well, how did you play so many of the guns don't even have sights? And I was like, honestly, like I just melee a lot in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
well, like, that's a big part punching. Of it, right? Is like, yeah. You know, getting them with that shiny on them so you know that they're ready for an execution or something.
Right.
And then the next one was New Rage 2 gameplay details. Andrea puts, yep, I watched this too.
So Rage 2 was one of my most anticipated going into E3 this year. And of course, it didn't disappoint. I just love every time I see Magnus and Tim on stage together.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of interviewing them both at E3, and they're just such a fun pair. And I'm glad that they poked fun at just how giant Magnus is by bringing out a step stool for Tim on stage, which was really funny. But of course, the game looks fantastic. They had a nice, lengthy 7+ minute gameplay trailer that they debuted on stage at QuakeCon. So, as a reminder, that Avalanche is handling all of the open world aspects of the game, including some of the car combat. And then it, of course, bringing their, as they defined it, best-in-class first-person shooting mechanics to the game. And, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily argue with that.
Yeah, of course.
They're,
right.
They're pretty good. And so what they showed off in the trailer, which is really exciting. So in the first Rage, it was very much all, like, dirt and brown everywhere, post-apocalyptic. Now they have new biomes, so that includes jungles, deserts, and more. They showed where your character's going to start, this place called Vineland. They showed some of the other factions that you're going to be fighting against. They showed some of the, quote, mind-blowing assortment of vehicles that are going to be in the game with a greater emphasis on car combat this time around, which was a highlight from the original Rage for me. But now that the open world is this seamless open world, I think it's going to be a lot more meaningful and it's going to be a lot more fun. Plus, there's going to be convoys that you can take down that looked suspiciously like some stuff from Mad Max. But I'm
okay
with it.
A lot of this looks like from Mad Max. It's like, great, cool.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's in a good way. But more activities in the open world is always better. And of course, you know, it's coming next year.
Why does this one speak to you? Why are you one of your most anticipated coming into E3? You loved everything you saw today. What speaks about Rage 2 to you?
I just like the, obviously the gunplay in it is really well done. Yeah. It's super fun. I like that they kind of have a twist on the post-apocalyptic world. We see so many post-apocalyptic games.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of making your game post-apocalyptic is like, it almost could feel a little tired, but I don't know what it is about. It's just so much fun and it's raw and the gameplay is really easy and approachable, but it also has a depth of difficulty in it as well, which is sometimes really hard to execute, is to make it approachable. It's that idea of what easy to learn, difficult to master, yep, or whatever. And I like how they're adding in all of these extra abilities to kind of vary up the shooting mechanics and make you feel really... just like really like almost like a superhero in a way. That's what I love about the fantasy of games, right? I don't necessarily want to play a survival game because I want to feel powerful. I want to feel like I could dominate.
You're
not
having to save
the
your
fantasy,
bullets. You're not like cowering in fear in a shadow trying to get by these enemies.
I
want to
count my bullets. I want to spray them everywhere.
No. Okay. All right.
I mean, but that's what it does,
no,
right?
Totally,
that's what it
totally.
Does best.
I mean, that's what, yeah, you look at, you know, everything else they did with Doom and yeah, of course. And then you put on here the final one, the Elder Scrolls Online Wolf Hunter and Mirkmire DLCs are coming. There's a new launch trailer and they launch on PC on August 13th.
Yeah, for ESO.
Nice.
I don't have any details about that. I haven't been playing ESO. I am incredibly happy for that team that game has had the legs that it does. They have a very robust community. I remember speaking to them before the game launched and I would never assume that they, you know, were kind of trepidatious about the success of that game. But when you're talking about a property like The Elder Scrolls, there's a lot of expectation from the community about what it's going to be. And if they hadn't executed, it could have fallen on its face. Instead, it didn't. It's thriving. And I think that that's really awesome.
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to say something.
Yes.
I love having you as a partner. Aww. You're so good at this. I'm just coming in like,
thanks,
I'm
Greg.
Like, I would have been like, here's the details. I don't have much to say. And you're like so into these games. I'm like, fuck yeah, Andrea, go. You're great. Everybody subscribe to What's Good. Number two. Remember, Switch Online is coming, the online service. We did Gamescast yesterday with me, Jared, and Tim, and I almost said something because I was like, hey, guys, you realize in a month we're supposed to have Switch Online, and they've said jack shit about it?
Yeah.
And then they put out this release last night or overnight that was just like, with only weeks until Nintendo Switch Online services launches in the second half of September. That's the only real piece of news here. In the second half of September, we wanted to send you a reminder about all the great features and subscription-based services is going to offer. We knew it was September. We didn't really know where. So then finally starting to narrow down. Yeah. Right, now it's in the second half. After the 15th, you'll look for this. Okay, Nintendo. They point out, of course, if you've never heard of the Switch Online membership, it'll give you access to play games online like Splatoon 2, ARMS 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Mario Tennis Aces. You'll get the Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online, a selection of classic NES games like Super Mario Bros. 3, The Legend of Zelda, and Dr. Mario with newly added online play. And then the big one, Save Data Cloud Backup, which lets you save your game data online for easy access in compatible games. This makes it easy to retrieve your game data if you lose your system or start using a new one. Plus, enhance your online experience with features available through the Nintendo Switch smartphone app and receive special offers. Additional details about the Nintendo Switch Online, including the exact launch date, will be announced closer to launch.
Incompatible games. How do they not make that like a system-wide requirement?
My thought process on it is it's going to be going forward. It'll be, you have to do this, but going backward, I think they're only going to support their biggest titles
that
and things
sense.
That have actually done it. Yeah, yeah. And I think like if you're an indie studio, I don't think it's, I wish it was as easy as flip a switch, but I think it's going to be like you have to put something in your code. And so if you're an indie game or something, you don't have a team that really wants to dedicate time to it.
Gotcha.
But they, I think, I want to say in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong that they confirm like their biggest games like would have the ability, obviously, when this goes live. But maybe I'm just assuming they'll do the right thing, which I think we can all agree, Kevin, they will.
Yep.
Thanks, Kev. Number three, Monster Hunter World on PC is killing it. This is from gamesindustry.biz's Matthew Handrahan. Nailed it. According to Steam charts data, Monster Hunter World reached a peak of 239,779. Why do I got hung up on the thousand and then broke my brain trying to say it. Don't say it. Let me do it. 239,779. The seventh highest total ever recorded on the platform, that is Steam. It is also the highest total recorded by any game released in 2018, beating the 96,000 players who gathered for Kingdom Come Deliverance. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds posted a higher peak number in January, but it was released last year.
Congrats, Capcom.
Exactly. I'm glad the story is positive again, because it went from, holy shit, everybody's playing Monster Hunter World, it's amazing, best-selling Capcom game of all time. Capcom's numbers are, the stock has dropped a little bit because it's not doing, it's like, what? What happened? And it was just that the retention rate for what we saw in Monster Hunter World wasn't what they expected. But to see it come to PC now and find an audience and fucking kill it on Steam, great for them. Number four, Nintendo said something else about VR. I'm putting this out there. A lot of people, I saw it through Reset Era. I saw it through the Twitter of Dr. Sirkan Toto. He's over in Japan. He has his own website doing all stuff, but he had this Nintendo president, Kimishima, had a article with Nikkei, right? And it was a multi-thread thing on Twitter from the doctor, but he says Nintendo currently studies, in quotes, VR, and will add VR to Switch once they figure out how users can play for hours without problems. And I saw Reset Era being like, oh man, VR is going to come to Switch one day. And I read this and I'm like, oh man, it's never coming. They're kind of putting down VR in general, right? Of like, it's like a subtle jab I'm reading it as of like, when they can play for hours without problems, like not being annoyed at too many cables. There's always going to be a quote unquote problem, I would think. I don't think VR is ever coming to Switch.
This is
take it to the bank, my lock of the week, Kevin.
This is a weird. This is a weird thing to say, right? Well, like, also, maybe Switch is not powerful enough for VR right now. How about we make Switch powerful enough to run a game like Overwatch, and then we can talk about VR.
Sure.
Sweet burn.
I don't know, maybe it's do one. It's not a burn. It's just like one step at a time, right? Like, yeah. Don't put the cart before the horse, whatever just, euphemism you want to use. I think that Switch is doing a lot of things really well.
Yeah.
And they should focus on expanding their software lineup.
Yeah.
I don't think that they need hardware.
I don't think they
need extra hardware.
I don't think they do either. I totally read this as just like, hey, yeah, we're looking at VR and what people are doing with it, but it's not. I think it's not for us response. Not really that. Yeah, we're studying it. It might actually evolve into something.
I'm sure that VR is on everybody's lips these days. So Nintendo probably had to make some kind of statement.
Yeah. I'm sure every journalist asks them questions. Yeah, you see people doing VR. Yeah. Why won't you? But I think it's the same thing as always. You never want to say never, right? Because then it gets thrown in your face later on. But this is, for me, more of a, yeah, we're looking at it. We're studying what people are doing. But
that's the right call. Sit back and wait, Nintendo.
Right. And then number five, German games are going to allow swastikas in them and like Nazi imagery. Stick with me. That was banned for a long time. I'm going to let the German Games Industry Association, quote unquote, game, tell you about it. A game welcomes the decision by German authorities to allow the entertainment software self-regulation body, the USK, to include computer and video games that contain symbols of unconstitutional organizations in its age ratings, effective immediately. Quote, this new decision is an important step for games in Germany. We have long campaigned for games to finally be permitted to play an equal role in social discourse without exception. Computer and video games have been recognized as a cultural medium for many years now, and this latest decision consistently cements that recognition in terms of the use of unconstitutional symbols as well, says Felix Falk, managing director of Game. Back to the quote. We in the games industry are concerned about the tendencies we see towards racism, anti-Semitism, and discrimination. We are strongly committed to an open, inclusive society, to the values laid out in the German Constitution, and to Germany's historical responsibility. Many games produced by creative, dedicated developers address sensitive topics, such as the Nazi era in Germany, and they do so in a responsible way that encourages reflection and critical thinking. The interactive nature of games makes them uniquely qualified to spark contemplation and debate, and they reach younger generations like no other medium can. Back to Greg here to tell you. So if you weren't following, in Germany, they've outlawed these unconstitutional organizations and symbolism, right? However, the caveat being that films and television, other works of art in years past, have been allowed to do it in the sense of the story they're telling. However, for years, video games weren't included in that. So they could, if you released your game in Germany, you couldn't have a swastika in it or other unconstitutional organizations. But clearly, it's mainly Nazi stuff that we're hung up on and talking about right now. Back to the article, back to the statement, I should say, from Games. When games that depict symbols of unconstitutional organizations are submitted to the USK for an age rating, the USK committees can now assess them on a case-by-case basis to decide whether the social adequacy clause, and then it's a very big German word that I won't insult by saying, as laid out in Section 86, Subsection 3 of the German Criminal Code, applies. In this context, social adequacy means that the symbols of unconstitutional organizations can be used in games in individual cases, as long as those symbols serve as an artistic or scientific purpose, or depict current or historical events. Previously, this assessment was not carried out for games, only for other media such as film. The change is the result of a new interpretation of the applicable law by the Supreme Youth Protection Authority of the federal states. More German words I won't try to pronounce. Based on current legal assessments. For years, Game, this is the organization, has been actively campaigning for games to be placed on an equal footing with other forms of media.
I think that's the big takeaway here, is that video games are now being seen as an equal medium to
100%.
Film. So that's great. That's great
awesome.
News.
And that's the thing is like, it's, I think for Western audiences like ourselves, I don't think I really knew. I mean, we always hear about Australia being super weird with censorship.
Oh,
I never paid much attention.
It's been a ban that's been in effect in Germany for a very long time.
Oh, sure. And I just never paid attention that it was the ban on it. And it was also then a slight to games. This isn't an art form as good as this other art form. So yeah, it's a huge win for the people of Germany, obviously, but also for video games as a whole of like, no, the world's waking up to the fact that games aren't just games. They aren't just for kids. They are something that is amazing, can tell a story like nobody else can.
Well, I mean, in their defense, it's hard to compare something like Schindler's List to Wolfenstein, right?
Not really. I can do it. You give me a chance.
I don't doubt that you, Greg Miller, are capable. I'm just saying for somebody who doesn't know what Wolfenstein is,
sure,
trying to explain the importance of both is a challenging endeavor.
Yep. But one more win. Video games are great, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay. Andrea, I can't wait to see what this means for the German people and the German video game industry. But the ripples of this stone being tossed into the lake, it's going to take a while to see the results. If I wanted something more immediate, say what games came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Why, Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Kevin, this is for you. I need a full report. Out today, Tiny Hands Adventure on Switch and Steam.
I'm trying to fucking apply by my hands.
I'm trying to say that there is no man who hates Tiny Hands more than you.
I don't know what that means.
I think we all know what it means.
I think Donald Trump hates them a lot more.
Whoa, bada bing, bada boom.
Little hands.
Madden NFL 19 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Mini Metro comes to Switch. Nightmares from the Deep 2, The Siren's Call comes to Switch. Tetra's Escape comes to Switch. Terra Tech comes to Xbox One. We Happy Few comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beta is now live on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. And then Doom and Rage have come to Xbox Game Pass. Did I ever pay you for saying, and this isn't one of them, Games Pass? Did I ever give you the money for that?
You did not.
Did we talk?
Man, I believe a lot of people were saying that she was going to pay in pizzas. I remember that being a conversation. Speaking of pizzas, you never paid Cheeks for losing that bet.
Shit, I never did. You're
He's
right.
Really upset about it.
Well, you know what? That's why he'll never be back on Kinda Funny Games Daily, and I'll never talk to him again.
Sure.
That's how you do it. Everybody thinks you have to pay bets. You can really do is just salt the earth and walk away. You never have to pay anybody.
Just say yes.
Greg, I believe that you have more moral fiber than that.
That's what I like to trick you into thinking.
Come on.
The Polygon article,
don't
man,
us,
it was one giant
don't
ruse.
Let us down,
no, I'll buy Cheeks the thing and I forget how much money I owe you. Anyways, new dates for you. XCOM 2 has a collection. It's going to be available at physical retailers in the U.S. starting from August 14th on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The XCOM 2 collection brings together the 2016 award-winning strategy title XCOM 2, 4 DLC packs, and its critically acclaimed 2017 expansion, XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. Meanwhile, Caro Blaster is currently available on the North American Nintendo eStore for pre-purchase and will be available on the EU Nintendo Store August 16th for pre-purchase. And then Shovel Knight is joining Rivals of Aether, the roster for that game, this fall. So if you're a Shovel Knight fan, guess what? He's in more games.
Yay!
Thank you, Kevin.
It's
time for Reader Mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our lovely sponsors. First, Third Love, the bra for the modern woman. You might say, Greg, what do you know about bras? And to which I say, not much. Not much at all. But what I loved about Third Love is when they wanted to come here with their bra for the modern woman, promoting, of course, their perfect fit, the most sizes of any brand, and the quality in every stitch, along with the convenience I'll talk about later, they sent us codes for our wives and girlfriends.
I'm waiting for mine to arrive.
Oh, awesome. So Tim interviewed Gia, and this is what Tim wrote about Gia. Gia loves the convertible bra you can take the straps off of and loves how chic and simple they are. She also loves that they come in half sizes, so it fits better than normal. Her two friends have been using them for a long time now and love them. They say they are very comfortable and own the nude one that is super nice that doesn't show lines when you're wearing a shirt. One of her friends has a black lacy one that is sexy that guys like. So there you go. Basically, you'd go there to Third Love and you do their fit finder quiz, answer a few simple questions and find your perfect fit. Third Love has the most sizes of any bra brand, cups A through H, bands up to 48. Each size is designed specifically for a perfect fit. Then there's comfort and quality, hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own. It's tagless labels, there's no itching, the straps won't slip, ultra soft smoothing fabrics, and if you don't love it, you can get a return or exchange super easily and free. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Next sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Kevin, do you love Omaha Steaks?
Oh my God, so much!
We all love Omaha Steaks here. If you didn't know, you go online, you order this meat, they ship the meat to you in a cooler that's frozen. You can either defrost it and start cooking, put it in the freezer, worry about a meal another time. When you say it's frozen, you take it out, you defrost it under cold water. It's super simple. I digress. What they do is send you great meats, affordable meats that you can then cook with your friends and families like this summer deal. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection for just $39.99. That's 80% off. Here's what you'll get. Two tender filet mignons. 2 beefy top sirloins. 4 juicy boneless pork chops. 4 boneless chicken breasts. 4 all beef Omaha steak burgers. 4 traditional kielbasa sausages. 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks. 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet. Plus, you'll get 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Again, this is a limited time package for only $39.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. This offer will end soon, and the summer's almost over, too. You got to go back to school. I'm sorry. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, grab your friends, fire up the grill. Andrea, I was talking to somebody online today in an email, and they were like, yeah, well, maybe next Friday. That'll be the 17th. And I'm like, oh my God, how is August almost over already, too?
It's just flying by, Greg. I don't know what to do about it. We just need to stop time.
That'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be nice. But we're getting closer to Spider-Man, so that's the best part. You
that's
know what I mean?
True.
Time
we
can
are.
Keep going, because I can just get to Spider-Man. I'll be happy about that. Let's see where I want to start with the stuff. Oh, here we go. Majestic Hyperion wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea. With all the excitement for Red Dead Redemption 2 and Spider-Man, I've not heard much chatter as I would have expected or hoped for The Walking Dead. After seeing the trailer they released for it, I'm keen to get back to Clem's story. I was wondering, with Greg having an affinity for the series, whether there is any additional information he could share about it and how excited he is for it. Also, are you worried that because the next coming months are so stacked with games that it might get lost a little bit in the buzz? Personally, I'm disappointed it's only 4 episodes, but it should make an intense ride, and honestly, I'm not sure if I'm ready to say goodbye to my Clem yet. My concern is with the heavy focus on Lee that she may suffer the same fate. Frowny emoji. Love the show in the chat. Keep doing what you do. I forget, where do you come down on the Walking Dead games?
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I'm not caught up for this final season, so I have some homework to do.
Yeah.
But I think I just got to a place with all of Telltale's games where I reached my maximum frustration level with the
technical hiccups and engines.
The hiccups, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the overall like jankiness of the games.
Sure.
And it was taking away from the excellent narrative work that's being done.
Right.
And so I was like, you know what? I just need to walk away. I'm tired of being frustrated playing these games. And I know that they're working on it and that it's going to get better.
Yeah,
and
the next, I think it's the, I forget if it's on the record or not off the record, like I'm fucking revealing information. I forget if it's a rumor or if it's confirmed that Wolf or whatever game comes after Walking Dead is the one that'll be on the first new engine. I'm pretty sure this is the goodbye to the Telltale engine. They're starting something new with the next one.
I mean, and I'm super looking forward to The Wolf Among Us too, but I that's where I'm at. Walking Dead was great though.
Yeah.
Still like, I mean, the season one of The Walking Dead is still like one of the
God-tier.
All-time greatest.
Yeah.
Right.
As you know, Majestic, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, the Telltale series, the comic books. I am caught up. I'm ready to jump in. I do feel it's getting drowned out a bit, but it's competition for sure, but it's also the fact that I think so many people are like you, where it's just like, all right, like I've lapsed on it. I haven't played last season, or I did and I didn't think it was that great, and you're just in this meandering thing. I think it'll be a game that if they do right, when it drops and people play that episode one and like, holy shit, I can't believe they did this, that, or the other. You got to play it to see what it is. I think that's where it actually gains steam. And I think it's always important to remember that Walking Dead gets the benefit of having episodic releases, which keeps it in the conversation so much longer than if it was just to come out and be done. You know, you're talking about time in here too. Like, is there going to be enough time to play it and stuff like that? What I love about Telltale games is that it's an hour and a half, 2 hour commitment. So when I am like grinding out this Spider-Man platinum, right? And I'm like, all right, cool. I need a break for a little bit. One night I can do that and then get back to it. I'm excited for it, but I'm in the similar boat of just like, what is exciting for me is that it's finally a final season. Like, we're gonna, they have to end this story in some respect. Will she die? Will she not die? I would think, yeah, probably. We'll see. I don't know. I have no inside information, obviously.
It would be a conclusive way to end her story.
And that's the thing, is if you're not going to end the story and just have her, I mean,
off into the sunset?
Is AJ going to keep living? They should have killed AJ a long time ago. Don't even get me started on AJ. And the other thing, too, is like, I know that I'm going to play The Walking Dead, so, and I know this is kind of weird because I hosted the panel and I know a lot about it, obviously, but like the trailer that dropped, they're like, great, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I don't want to know anything, especially for a 2 hour experience. Like, I don't want to know what any of the set pieces are, characters I'm going to see. Let's just get me the game and let's jump in and go from there. And I think if they nail it, that's where it'll pick up steam and people will be all about it. But yeah, it does have stiff competition around it. But again, 2 hours, it's a different kind of thing. Where do I want to go? We didn't get a lot of questions today. A lot of kids wanted to squat up. That was the main thing.
Oh.
So some of these are like very right to the point. Parker B. Gale writes in and says, "What is up? Kind of funny. Hope the world's treating you well. Greg, you've inspired me. I upgraded to a PlayStation 4 Slim last year because it's easier to transport. However, when I see things like the Spider-Man Special Edition console and listen to you talk about it on Kind of Funny Games Daily, I just can't help myself. My question is, if I've pre-ordered the digital deluxe version of Spidey already and the console comes with it, will I just have two copies of the game? Could I potentially be refunded? I gave it a good Google and wasn't successful. So, it would be great to get some help from the Kind of Funny fam. Best, Parker B." What I understand, looking at the box, is, and you can look at it too on Amazon, it says that it's including a digital code for the deluxe edition. So yeah, you would have two. So right, double check that, and then if there's no differences between, in very specific wording, if it's digital deluxe versus your digital deluxe, which I'm pretty sure it is, then yeah, I think you'd have to try to get your refund through the PlayStation Store where you pre-ordered. So there you go. That's a simple one. You want another simple one?
Yeah.
Robbie Good writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's good, kind of funny? Yesterday, Greg, you mentioned that it was the 6-year anniversary of your public cancer announcement. I know I speak for all the best friends when I say you've been a true inspiration, and we really have come to see you as a best friend that we would invite into our cars and homes and workplaces every single day. So my question is a simple but rather personal one. How are you doing? Are there any updates on your health that you are willing to share? If there are concerns, how can we help? If you don't want to get into it, I totally understand. Just know that we truly care about you. Thanks for making every workday great. Keep laying that sweet chicken down by the fire." Smiley emoji. Robbie, once you get to your 5 years outside of cancer, you just move over to an annual checkup. And my annual checkup is next week. I don't foresee any problems, but we will see. And if so, you will get some kind of video about it, I'm sure. But if you hear nothing, I'm probably fine. I think I'll be fine.
No news is good news.
Exactly. And then Billy the Door gets the final question of the day. He writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hiya. I was wondering what your thoughts were on Patrick Klepek's tweet about his not review, in quotes, of We Happy Few. He said, quote, 'This isn't a review of We Happy Few because I hit a point 5 hours in where I just didn't feel like playing anymore,' end quote. As someone who hates wasting time, I think this is a refreshing concept. Why waste time playing something you clearly have already made up your mind about? Interested to see your perspectives on this, Greg, as someone who has written many reviews, and Andrea, someone who hasn't. You review games, but you don't write them."
No, I don't review games. I give my impressions in my critiques on games, but I would never call them reviews.
Interesting. Love you all. Have a great weekend, Billy the Door. That was something I was happy, very, very happy to embrace when we started Kind of Funny. And even honestly, when I transitioned from being a PlayStation or an editor at IGN to being a host at IGN, where it was like, I'm playing this and I don't like it and I don't need to finish it. I don't need to hit some milestone achievement or whatever so that I can sit there and go, all right, now I'm reviewing the game and that's what it is.
And this is exactly why I don't review games. Yeah. I mean, I don't review games for a variety of reasons, but this is a big one. And
yeah.
I'm with you that, you know, running what's good has allowed us to really kind of pick and choose which games we want to spend our time with. I'm actually really looking forward to downloading We Happy Few tonight. It was one of my favorite games that I saw at Judges Week.
Sure.
When we were there earlier in the year. It feels like it's kind of divisive because I've seen some people give it very glowing reviews and I've seen some people say, I just don't like it. It's hard to get into.
Yeah.
There are many games out there that the first couple of hours or even like the first 10 to 15 hours can sometimes be a little bit of a drag. But then once you're over that hump, it becomes a lot of fun. For me, Monster Hunter World was that game.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of trouble really getting in at the beginning because there were just too many systems that I couldn't understand what was happening. But then once I was in all the way and I loved it. I'm not sure if We Happy Few suffers from that. I haven't played enough of it to know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that a guy like Patrick would do this because he does do reviews. I mean, he's more of a features guy now. But
I would assume, he does do reviews and he has in the past, but he does features. I think it's just, him having that, I'm not reviewing this game, so I don't have to keep going. And
right.
So, but I also think,
did he provide any more context as to like why he stopped? Yeah.
Let me look. I saw this initial one of him just not enjoying it or whatever. Personally, for me, and I know it's very much internet personalities and all the different terms you have for everybody who does all this. For me, that is a review. That still counts. And I don't hold that to the same review standards I hold in an IGN or GameSpot review. I don't think this needs to go on Metacritic or something like that.
Right.
But I think an opinion isn't a review to an extent. You just need to know the context being given for it, right? Where I think it's like, you know, when we get on a Gamescast or any show, and it is like, oh well, I played 30 like, yesterday on Gamescast. I played, you know, 30 minutes of Dead Cells. I played one good run, and I really enjoyed it, and I want to get back to it. That doesn't hold as much weight as somebody who's gone through and beaten the final boss. And I know Klepik's like crazy about Dead Cells right now.
Right. Well, he actually wrote a full article about this over on Waypoint. That's waypoint.vice.com if you guys want to read the whole thing. I'll just read the opening paragraph. It says, "We Happy Few, a psychedelic riff on BioShock with survival game hooks, is one of 2018's biggest disappointments." Yikes. "It exits 2 years of early access development on Steam and Xbox One this week alongside a launch on PlayStation 4. If you, like me, found yourself desperate for anything to scratch that BioShock itch, it's best to keep waiting. You're more likely to be frustrated by We Happy Few, a game flirting with interesting ideas, but whose cumbersome gameplay prevents it from doing much with them." Ooh, that is not good. Well, if you want to read the rest of what he has to say about it, you can, like I said, head on over to Waypoint and check that out. But this is just not deter me from trying it.
Yeah, sure. And but I appreciate him getting out in front of it, right, and saying like it's a not a review of like I think that speaks to what a review for Waypoint means versus what a review for Kinda Funny means, and the way that he understands that you go to Waypoint and it says review in the title, you expect them to have rolled credits and done a whole bunch of different stuff. I like that. As long as people are being upfront with what review means to them and then what they actually did in the game, great. More power to you. Your opinions all matter. Andrea?
Yes, Greg.
It's time to squad up.
Let's do it.
This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Sarah needs help on her Xbox One. Her Xbox Live username is amazing. It's all one word. Feta Cheese Pizza. Feta Cheese Pizza needs help on Xbox One. Hello, Kinda Funny crew. I have hit the reset button on my gaming life and have bought an Xbox One. I even got myself a new gamer tag. Now, I'm named after something I'm truly passionate about. Feta cheese pizza. This squad up is a bit different because I'm not looking for people to actively play games with. Currently, my friend total sits at zero. I just want to feel a little less alone in the world whenever I turn on my Xbox. Thanks, Feta cheese pizza, aka Sarah, hashtag justice for chickens. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see Sarah online and give her a wave on the digital highway, hit up Feta Cheese Pizza, all one word.
We don't get a lot of Xbox people writing in.
Yeah, mainly because, you know, I'm not even gonna throw a jab at it. It's Friday, everybody have fun, except PC gamers. You should not be doing that. Andrea, we ask everybody watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. What did we screw up today?
Today, first, Zephyr773 says, "Hey, Andrea, I just wanted to say I really dig your jacket. Sorry it's not a year wrong, but I just had to say your outfit is on point today."
I almost said something in the beginning. You do. Thanks. You look. This is a really good outfit. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Kebabs, I'm going to give this one to you because you're a regular contributor to the show. But
that
I
also
just wanna,
means she doesn't agree with you.
It says, "Technically, you will always be hunting demons by yourself in an invaded Doom campaign since your opponents will be other demons."
Right?
All right, I've paused enough for that. Shredberg says, "While it doesn't confirm the Switch will ever have VR, it was leaked by a hacker yesterday that the Switch already has VR APIs within the system." And then he links to a Twitter thing. Interesting indeed. It just means that the framework is there, that they built it in to maybe do something with it later. All right, let's see here.
Future-proofing.
The Ass Captain.
Yeah, Ass Captain.
This is about Switch Online. All third-party games, except free-to-play, say on their game descriptions on the Nintendo Store that it will just switch over to the paid service at launch. Oh. About Switch VR, there has been a video of the dev mode of the Switch showing a working VR mode, but no gameplay. So maybe like you could like watch movies on your Switch in VR or something like that?
Future-proof.
This is another Switch VR thing. Lord of Pwn, Stranger Things will be the first Telltale game to move to the new engine, which is on Unity.
That's right. That is correct. That weird Shadow announcement they had at E3. What a weird way to announce a Stranger Thing. Shadow.
Typo says, "Not a correction, but this news broke during the show. New York governor is supporting Vicarious Visions. They are expanding by 115 jobs." Maybe it's like a state initiative to support economic growth, and so they're
like Quebec and all
like a grant or something like that. Okay. I would have to take a look at this full, the full story.
Stuff like that, like if you move your company there, there's a big old tax break.
Yeah, there's a lot of states that do initiatives like that.
Kevin, you want to move the company to New York?
No, move to LA.
It's too hot. New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, Edgar Ram. This is a good one. Some small but exciting news. The Initiative, which is one of Xbox's new studios that they announced at E3, just made its first round of hires, including a God of War producer, the writer of Shadow of War, Red Dead Redemption, and Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Nice. It's happening over there, guys. Games are cooking.
Oh, Kebabs, thank you for the clarification. Writes, I made that you were wrong in case people thought the game had co-op. I don't think that anyone was confused about that, but
yeah,
you're
trying to make us look like morons, Kebabs.
And Nick G says, thanks for the coffee at RTX, Greg.
Anytime, man. That's a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Kevin's panicking about something. I have no idea what. What's the oh shit about, Kev?
Nothing. I just didn't realize we were that close because I'm a dummy.
Okay. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We'll be live this afternoon playing some games. Then, if you want to watch it later, youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support. Consider going to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Support us over there. Support Andrea at What's Good Games. Support Kevin, also Kinda Funny. Don't give him money on his own. Don't just mail him money. Don't Venmo him money.
Don't do it. I'll keep it.
He will. Don't call his bluff, guys. Have a great weekend. Play some games. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.